Yo, what is going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Infinite Snap Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Shadow DTV, also known as Richie. We've got my boy Justin here. How you doing, Justin?
Good, thanks. How's everyone going?
Yeah, I'm good. There hasn't been a ton of Marvel Snap news this week. There's been a few things here and there. Usually we have most weeks are quite a busy week in Marvel Snap, but of course we've got the new Black Panther card, so we're definitely going to be discussing that. We've had a week now to play with Black Panther. Really cool card, having a ton of fun with it. We're going to talk about this week's wacky featured location, and of course we'll go through the hot location as well, what decks we played, things like that. I found a great article showing a deck for every pool 3 card. It's a really, really cool article that we'll go through, take a look at, and I will be posting the link for you guys. So if you're finally in pool 3, there will be a deck that you can play. We're going to discuss collector's tokens, which are on the horizon. If you don't know what they are, you're going to find out today. We're just going to discuss a bit about them and what we think about them. And I'll be posting all those info on the Infinite Snap Twitter as well. And then Battle Mode. We've been hearing about it for a while. It is coming soon. So we're going to discuss that as well and what that could mean for Marvel Snap. All of this stuff will be posted on the @InfiniteSnapPod on the Twitter. That is the handle, so go and follow that so you don't miss out on any info. And if you're listening to the podcast, you'll also be able to check up when we, I guess, reference visual things. You'll be able to check that out as well. And of course, at the end, we will be playing everyone's favorite Marvel Snap quiz, Snap Who. We've shaken up Snap Who a little bit. It's been getting, you know, we kind of, now that we're in pool 3, we're finishing our collections, we kind of know most of the cards, so we've upped the difficulty of Snap Who. I don't want to give away what we're doing yet, so you'll find out at the end of the episode. And yeah, that's pretty much it, guys, so let's roll that intro and get straight into today's show. All right, so first up, Justin, how's your week been? You've been playing Marvel Snap?
Week's been pretty good. Marvel Snap, yeah, like I've been playing a little bit. It feels like it's gone a little bit stale. Probably not playing as much as I was, but still hitting all my missions, my daily missions, and I'll still grind to infinite. What about you?
Yeah, for sure. I've been playing a little bit less this week as well. I feel like I kind of have like ups and downs where I'll play it a ton for like 2 weeks straight. And then I kind of like, I just get busy. I like play some other games. But yep. I wouldn't say that I like fall off, but same as you, like finish all my missions, complete everything. And then every now and then I'll get like a little itch and I'll play for like a couple of hours, after work or something. But yeah, I think in general, every time there's a new card, there's a ton of hype around the game. We get really excited and we get the card. I play with it a bunch and then I'm like, okay, now like our meta's kind of just back to how it was. We've just got this new card. It's a very interesting dynamic and it'll be interesting in the long run how it affects the game. What's your thoughts on how the meta is, I guess, and it doesn't shift as much as like other card games, I guess.
Yeah, so I actually finished my collection.
Yep.
Finished my collection at collection level 2,986 with Gambit.
Yep.
Back like at the start of pool 3, every time I unlocked like a card or like a decent card, I was building a deck around it, trying that deck out, whatever. Yep. Now that I've finished my collection, even unlocking the last few cards, Destroyer was probably the last card that I unlocked where I actually built a deck around it and was like, wow, this is cool, and played that deck for a bit.
Yep.
But things like Gambit and stuff, it's just a card that slots into an existing deck, which is the discard deck. Doesn't really change my discard deck too much.
Yeah.
So that's why the hype has kind of died down a little bit for me.
Yep.
And as you know, as I've said before, I'm all for the progression in this game. I love the way that we unlock cards. And the reason for that is because I didn't want to finish my collection so quickly. I wanted to like keep that hype around unlocking cards and building new decks and stuff like that. So now that I have finished my collection, I'm kind of like, what do I do?
Where do I go
from here? Just kind of the goal is to hit infinite, but that's kind of it.
Yep.
And I don't even know what to do with my credits. Like, now do I do I bank my credits as much as I can until they don't let me anymore? Like,
yeah, I think
what?
Yeah,
well, I don't know.
It's an interesting one. I think you can bank to like 5,000 credits.
Yeah, it's around there.
But then after, like, as soon as you hit that, you just have to spend. Like, you're just gonna have to spend, go back to 5,000, spend. So I don't know. I think I would just keep spending them as is, because I know they did mention any unopened caches would just be opened for you. So yep. I can see what you're saying, like you can hold credits and then open a bunch. I guess you could do that, but I mean, you're still getting variants. You're still getting like titles, things like that. So, I mean, I guess each to their own, but yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting question, because it's not like a regular leveling system where it's like, oh, look what level I am. It's like you get things from it. So if you want to kind of like, I know early on with the boosters, people wouldn't upgrade their cards because you were more likely to get boosters for those cards. So like if you had a common card, they've obviously changed that in recent times, but people were farming boosters so they could like split their cards and get really cool variants, gold, you know, the Inkify ones where they're like black and white. So I guess, yeah, it's kind of like that. Do I hold the credits to maybe get some pool four cards like straight away? I don't know. I don't really know how it's going to work.
And I feel like they may be catering towards like the newer players now. We're at the end of our collection. It's kind of like, you know, one card a month used to seem good, great. I guess. Like Thor came out, Daredevil came out. I was like, whoa, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of like, give me more content, give me more cards, give me more stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think this
argument we're having, most listeners are going to be like, well, I've got so many cards to unlock, and that's correct. I keep saying it, but like we're kind of old news in the Marvel Snap scene now, because all the beta players, we're getting towards the end of the collection as people are just starting their Pool 3 collection. I think it's an interesting dynamic, because generally if we all started the game at the same time, we would all be at the same point in, I guess, our thought process. So I think I'm not expecting pool four cards anytime soon, because people are just entering pool three. They've got so many cards to unlock. So, I definitely think it's something we're going to have to wait on. And I guess that could harm beta players' experience a little bit, but I also see so many beta players that absolutely smash the game, play every single day. So I think it's like any game. There's going to be like things that we like about it and things that we don't like about it. And it's just, is it still the game for you, I guess? And, I mean, people, yeah, go, what were you going to say?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I would hope that, do we have a time frame of when the, what's the new, how do we unlock, how do new players unlock, target new cards to unlock? What are they called?
Collector's tokens.
Collector's tokens. Yeah. Do we have a time frame on that?
No, I don't think so, but I think it was like first priority. I believe that was like before the end of the year, like ideally.
Okay, because I would hope in an ideal world that Pool 4 at least would come out with the collector's tokens to accommodate for players like us who have played the beta, because then we could actually utilize these collector's tokens, because if there's no new cards to unlock and there's this new feature, collector's tokens, and I'm getting these collector's tokens and can't do anything with them, kind of feels bad, to be honest.
Yep, for sure. Cool. So we'll get into all of that. We've pretty much got all the things we just discussed, like the topics for today, which is great.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Black Panther. Because I guess this is something that doesn't matter if you're an old player, beta player, new player, you have access to this card. So pretty much, I think everyone's kind of, we posted some pool one and pool two and pool three Black Panther decks last week at Infinite Snap Pod on the Twitter. So I guess people have already got access to decks for each pool. But now that we've had like a week to play with them, I've kind of like honed the deck that I'm enjoying, and you have as well. So these decks kind of have a bunch of pool three cards, but of course you can like, I guess, tailor them to what you have available at the moment. And guys, after that, we're going to go through a really cool article, and it doesn't matter how many pool three cards you have, there will be a deck in this article that you can play, which is really cool. But for now, Black Panther, Justin, I've got your deck here. I'll bring it up. Do you want to discuss, I guess, how you came to like play this version of it, and I guess what it does really?
Yeah, so this Black Panther deck.
There we go.
Probably the key elements that I saw from people posting online was like the Wong Black Panther Arnim Zola combo. And to be honest, that's probably like the most OP combo that I've seen with Black Panther being played.
Yep.
And even in this deck, it's not like I've put in these other cards. I've subbed in a couple of things, but Wong Black Panther and Arnim Zola is still probably the best combo that you can pull off in this deck.
Yep.
Like you can do nothing else. Like, you know, turn one, twos and threes is kind of just like, you know, Iceman and Korg to disrupt a little bit.
Yep.
And then, you know, Psylocke maybe to play an early Wong.
Yep.
But even if you're doing that, you know, Psylocke to play turn Wong turn on turn three.
Yep.
But then on turn four, I'm not really playing anything.
Yeah.
It's kind of like maybe a Koye and a Forge or like something like that, or a Nakia and a Korg or whatever.
Yep.
So yeah, definitely the main combo is Wong Black Panther Arnim Zola.
For sure.
I'm sure people have seen it, but if you haven't, Wong doubles on reveal effects.
Yep.
Black Panther doubles its power when it gets played.
So it gets to 16 with no buffs.
It gets 16 if you play it at Wong's location with no buffs. And then Arnim Zola will destroy both of those and play them at the other two locations.
Yep.
So Black Panther will get to 32 if it gets destroyed first, or if Wong gets destroyed first, then it gets to 64, which is insane. And that's not that's without like a Forge, a Koye, or a Nakia buff. So it is pretty strong. And then, like, I guess the failsafe is like, you know, Wong with White Tiger and Dr. Dooms to spread out some tokens across the board.
For sure.
So it's a pretty cool deck. I think I've said it before, like Black Panther tends to go really tall at one location, but this deck kind of spreads it wide a little bit, which I enjoy.
Yeah, for sure. I think I'm seeing a lot of like Black Panther, like this Wong Black Panther Arnim Zola combo, and I guess it is a very pool three centric combo. For pool one and pool two, like there are plenty of ways to use Black Panther. But I think Arnim Zola really allows you to take him from a single lane card to a multiple lane card.
Correct.
So like without Arnim Zola, it is hard to, I guess, just win. Like you said, you could do nothing for three turns, go Wong, Black Panther, Arnim Zola and win. Like it's pretty nuts.
It's insane. And that's the thing that I've seen with people who try and do a pool one and pool two Black Panther deck. It's just they are great decks and you can definitely win with them, but they do tend to go tall at one location instead of wide across the board, which like it definitely can win you games, but it's not as consistent as going for a wide board, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. I think generally like you want to be always fighting for at least two locations, obviously, because you can't win otherwise. But then I guess decks that can try and fight for three can also really throw you off. So I feel like this is very much two lane centric deck, but of course you're throwing your opponent off by playing for that third location and then moving everything. So even that can throw people off. Even that, like, even people know the combo, but it can still throw you off a little.
It can still throw you off. I actually had a funny interaction today where I did I play Wong? I actually did. I played Wong Black Panther, right? And then because a lot of the things that happens with Black Panther, I'm sure everyone knows, is Shang-Chi. Shang-Chi just destroys Black Panther.
Of course.
So I had Wong Black Panther at one location.
Yep.
And then turn six, I had initiative because I was winning. I Arnim Zola'd Black Panther, copied to the two other locations, got massive, and my opponent had played a Shang-Chi at the original location, which then had like no power. It had a zero powered Arnim Zola there.
It was
absolutely hilarious.
That is quite funny. When we go through my deck, I'll tell you my funny Black Panther. I think it's just created some funny interactions as well.
Definitely
I'll tell
has.
You my funny Black Panther interaction today that made me laugh. Anything else to say about your list here?
Not too much, to be honest. Obviously, with the featured location this week, has also made this deck absolutely insane. It just buffs Black Panther massively. So
So we'll definitely go through that. That's Shuri's lab. That is a very interesting location. So I thought we'd go through the Black Panther decks, and then because I guess kind of all the locations this week were centered around Black Panther, which was an interesting way to go. But I mean, I guess it is the new card. It's the hot new thing in Marvel Snap. So we'll go through my deck list. I've got my deck list here. I just need to bring it up. So it mine's it's similar, but there are well, actually it's not similar. There's I'm just looking at it. I'm like, no, it's very much not similar. So this is the Black Panther I've landed on.
Wow.
Yeah. I was just thinking, like, there's very similar combos, but there's I guess a different strategy in that where you, like, I'm kind of using Mr. Negative to enable the combos. So obviously Wong, Black Panther, Arnim Zola is still the main combo. I've got White Tiger, Taskmaster in there, same as you did. I've got Iron Man in there because he's zero power. So if I play Mr. Negative, I can also get an Iron Man out for free. I've got Morph in there and Mystique for the same reason, because they can end up being free. Psylocke in there to get Wong out or Mr. Negative out turn, same as you, but I can also get Mr. Negative out turn three, which is pretty broken. Yeah. I think the benefit this deck has is I can sometimes pull off the combo where I play Wong turn four, I have Black Panther in hand, and I can get a zero cost Arnim Zola. And so I've had games where I play Black Panther and Arnim Zola in this turn six, and so that doesn't give them a chance to Shang-Chi it. Which,
yeah, I understand. Just looking at this deck, like, apart from Blue Marvel and Black Panther, your powers are all two or under.
Yep.
But so they're basically more than half the deck is a zero or one power, yes, which just makes it absolutely insane.
It's pretty crazy. So, like, the main combo that I got off, and that's the thing, it's Shang-Chi protection, because you have Wong there, you play Black Panther, Arnim Zola, your Arnim Zola gets rid of Black Panther and moves it before they can Shang-Chi. So even if they preemptively go, oh, Wong, he's going to play Black Panther there, I'm going to put Shang-Chi there just in case, it doesn't give them your plan until turn six, which is kind of, I think Marvel Snap, the hard part about the game is it's all about surprise. So, like, I was playing this Destroyer deck, and I was just coming up against people that knew what the deck did. So they knew when to retreat, and they knew when to, like, snap. And so there was games where I was just like, game after game, I'm like, they know they're going to win, I can't do anything. And it just felt really hard to get eight cubes, where with this deck, I can pull eight cube wins pretty well, because they just don't see what's coming sometimes. And then,
that is a good point. I think surprise is kind of the key to getting cubes in Marvel Snap, because your opponent knows exactly what you're trying to do to win, then they can see when you're pulling it off and can just retreat.
That's right. So that's kind of the aim of this deck a little bit. Obviously, sometimes you're still just going Wong, Black Panther, Arnim Zola. But the great thing is I might draw, like, let's say I Psylocke into Mr. Negative on turn three. Sometimes I'll, like, pull an Iron Man as well that I can now play, or I'll get let's say I'll pull, like, even a Morph or a Venom or something that I can play as well. The reason for Venom, it's an interesting one. It's probably the first one I would drop for something else. But if you miss Black Panther, you can kind of eat your other cards with Venom. So, like, if I play, like, a White Tiger, like, with Psylocke early, I can kind of Venom that and then Arnim Zola it or Taskmaster it.
Yes,
like,
okay. Just,
like, as a fail safe. It doesn't work as well as I'd like. So that's probably the first card I would change. But, I mean, it's fine for now. It's being a one power means you can swap it and play it for one power, for one cost sometimes. But, yeah, so deck's pretty cool. Mystique, like, you can, again, if I draw Iron Man and Mystique at zero power, I mean, I can play Black Panther, and I had this happen. I had Black Panther, Wong, Black Panther, Arnim Zola, and I'd missed a negative with Psylocke. It doesn't come up as often, but I was able to Iron Man and Mystique as well at the Black Panther locations. It was stupid. Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty crazy as well. The funny interaction I had today with this deck, it was hilarious, was there was a bar with no name, and of course that location, the lowest power wins that location. So my opponent played Bucky Barnes there before the location was revealed, and then it was revealed, and I'm like, if I play Wong here and end up I'm losing that location, he's going to be like, wow, this guy's so silly. So I went Wong, Black Panther, and the guy's just like, he must have been laughing at me. Like, he's intentionally losing this location. I Arnim Zola'd it. And, like, it just destroyed him. Like, I had 60 plus power at the other locations because Wong got moved first as well. And he just, like, wasn't even close. And I ended up winning a bar with no name because it ended up being zero.
Zero.
And he had one power there. It was just hilarious.
That's awesome.
And he, yeah, I was just like, stuff like that, the deck can kind of throw you off because he's probably like, well, he's just giving me a free location right now, you know, like with a bar with no name. And then all of a sudden I won all three locations with the combo. And I'm pretty sure that whole game, all I played was like maybe Morph and then Wong, Black Panther, Arnim Zola. Like I didn't even play many cards to get the win. And I think that's where like it's pretty powerful, Black Panther. Like you can just not draw anything good until the last few turns.
It is very powerful. I think, yeah. It's just Arnim Zola that enables it to get onto two locations that makes it powerful. I think if there wasn't that interaction, you can play an Odin on turn six to double your Black Panther's power, but then you're still only getting it at that one location. You're still going so tall where your other locations will kind of suffer. And because Black Panther's a five cost and, you know, Odin's a six cost, you can't, like, it's just not feasible to play those. I don't think it's feasible to play both of them in the same deck, really. Yeah,
so
if that's like, if it's your win condition.
Yes, because
you're taking your potentially the two most important turns up on one location. Like it's a bit iffy.
Yeah, 100%. And I think so I was playing instead of Blue Marvel, I was playing Jane Foster for a little bit. So you could pull all those zero cost cards out. And it works well, but I think you end up filling a lot of the locations and it doesn't come off that often. I actually found Blue Marvel to be kind of, it didn't seem good at first, but like sometimes I would have, you know, White Tiger and Wong and play a bunch of cards and, you know, get Morph out, play Psylocke early. And Blue Marvel actually did a fair bit. Like I ended up winning a game where it was the location where your cards are hidden until the end of the game. And so we ended up with Project Pegasus. So I was able to play Blue Marvel there like turn one. And then they would have won if that Blue Marvel wasn't revealed. So it can come in pretty clutch, but I mean, it's not like super important to the combo. And of course, Taskmaster is actually like a failsafe as well. Like if you get Wong, Black Panther, don't draw Arnim Zola, you can always Taskmaster at another location. So of course that works quite well. And with Venom, you can also do that sort of thing. It's funny what you said about Odin, because before I was playing this list, I had a list with like Black Panther, Arnim Zola, Odin, and we ended up with Elysium. So I was able to go Black Panther turn four, sorry, Wong turn three is so dumb. Wong turn three, Black Panther turn four, Odin turn five. And then I went Arnim Zola turn six. And so it moved my Black Panthers and then moved my Odins, and my Black Panthers ended up at 512 at both locations. And that was the stupidest number I've gotten with Black Panther so far. I know you can go way crazier, but that combo will comes off so you need Elysium to appear for that to even work.
Yeah.
Or like I had Wave as well, which can like pull off similar things, but not to that extent. So I ended up on this. It's a bit RNG with Mr. Negative, but I mean, Mr. Negative decks are RNG. So it's like you're just accepting it. And like even switching Wong to a two cost, like you can get Wong out like on like if you Mr. Negative, you can draw into Wong, play him on like, you know, turn four and another like on turn five even. And then drop like a Black Panther and Arnim Zola at zero. Yeah, I guess you're manipulating when you can play your combo. Like instead of having to go turn four, turn five, turn six, you can on turn five and six play like all three of them.
I was just gonna say I've been practicing, not practicing. I've been like using a few decks I think it's my favorite way to play now is to like cheat the curve or like cheat out cards.
Yeah, for sure.
So with like a Mr. Negative or a Psylocke or even with
Wave,
like a Jubilee a Wave,
for sure.
To cheat out like a high cost card just enables crazy plays that you couldn't usually do if you're just relying on like a standard curve deck.
Yes.
So like I have been playing with my Patriot deck to try and hit infinite. That's the deck that I used last season to hit infinite.
Yep.
But like it's good and it's reliable, but like it is repetitive. Like it's the same thing every game.
Yeah.
And it gets a little bit boring. Whereas like if I'm like cheating out cards, yes. It's like it just makes things different.
And that's the thing, it's that whole surprise thing. Like my opponent does not see Black Panther Arnim Zola being played on turn six. Like potentially you could play Wong, Black Panther and Arnim Zola all on turn six.
Yeah.
Like that's insane.
Which is like you should not be able to do that.
It's just crazy. So I mean Mr. Negative has been nerfed multiple times for a reason because it's just a crazy card. And yeah, I'm just having fun with the deck. I haven't really like tried climbing yet, but I guess I've started now. Now that I'm kind of set on a deck and I guess maybe have a bit more time than I did. But yeah, having fun with Black Panther. So let's get into the featured locations this week because they pretty much directly relate to Black Panther. So we'll discuss those. So the first one was Shuri's Lab. Now, Shuri's Lab was the new location that we got. So we had it for 48 hours. And its ability is basically, hey, play Black Panther here. It's so the actual effect is when you play a card here, double its power. So playing Black Panther there with no other abilities got him to what, 16?
16.
Yeah, yep. So you throw Wong in there, all of a sudden it's going crazy. So yeah. I think everyone was pretty much just playing that deck or a Shang-Chi deck for that 48 hours.
I think Shang-Chi was kind of, yeah, ruling the meta a little bit on Shuri's Lab because anything, well, Shang-Chi destroys 9 or more power. So if you're playing anything with 5 or more power, Shang-Chi is destroying it at Shuri's Lab. So like, it's pretty insane. Right. One of the cards that I love to play at this location is Dr. Octopus.
Yep.
So you play Doc Oc.
Yep.
He gets to 20 power.
Yep.
And he pulls your opponent's cards down, and because they didn't technically play them, they don't double, and it fills up their side of Shuri's Lab.
You're right.
Now that's at like turn 5 because he's 5 cost, yeah. So it's not reliable. But
yes.
Usually, like turn 6 is a big card. Or I also had Electro in the deck, so I could play him on turn 4.
Yep.
So it definitely did disrupt my opponent at Shuri's Lab, which is kind of awesome.
I love that. That's really really cool. I like that idea. I didn't really have any issues with the location because I was playing Black Panther. But I guess if you hadn't purchased a season pass, it could be a bit like your only real option was to counter it, I guess. Of course, there are other combos with the location. I saw people kind of playing Iron Man there after playing a card there. Like basically any high-powered card was going to do well there. You know, you could even like... I didn't see anything like... I didn't see anything crazy. Oh, of course, I saw Venom. People were kind of playing. Actually, that was the main deck. It was like a destroy Black Panther deck. So like you could, every time Venom ate things there, it would double. So you could go Carnage, double, Venom, double. You get some pretty big numbers with Venom alone. And then you also
Taskmaster.
Yeah, Taskmaster or Arnim Zola, Black Panther. You could still play Black Panther there. So yeah, there was definitely a few things to do with Shuri's Lab. Obviously, it was very Black Panther-centric. I think we all kind of figured that out as soon as we started. As soon as you read the ability, it's like, hey, this is just Black Panther's ability at a location. So what happens if we play, you know, it's essentially like, you know, having Wong already there for your Black Panther. But yeah, I didn't have any issues with it. I could see not having Black Panther and it being super annoying for sure. But other than that...
I think it's a good one to have in the pool of locations. Like it wasn't that annoying. Like, I don't know, it can be annoying, like when I'm playing a Patriot deck, I don't want to double my power at a specific location because I'm not necessarily playing cards at all the locations.
That's right.
So my opponent gets the upper hand. But I think like in the pool of locations, it's great. It's something different. Something we haven't seen before, surprisingly, even though it's pretty simple. But I do like it as a location. It was good.
Yes, cool. So that was Shuri's Lab. Not too much to say about it. Location was fun. I saw some people a bit annoyed about it, and I can understand because, again, and we talk about this most weeks with the featured location, sometimes it's very like deck-centric. It's like one deck, play the deck, or counter it. And Shuri's Lab was very much like that, I guess. Cool. So that was Shuri's Lab. And then, of course, we had the hot location. And I guess still very much in the Wakanda theme, we had the Wakandan embassy. So this location, give plus two power to cards in players' hands. So I guess this is like, this is kind of like what Nakia's ability used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and it's a pretty good ability. And again, it's just like if you have Black Panther in hand, it's just giving Black Panther like an awesome buff.
Yep.
And you know what I thought about as well? It gives players incentive to buy the season pass because they see these locations that, you know, it's like, oh wow, people are getting Black Panther by buying the season pass and they're winning. Like, I'm losing to Black Panther every time I play. They're getting to like 40 power, 50 power, 60 power, and it makes people think, oh wow, I can get that card if I just pay the 15 Australian dollars. It's like, I reckon it's good marketing. It's smart. It's not necessarily like, you know, putting a big advertisement in people's faces, but it's definitely there.
Listen to the businessman here. How about we advertise the game in the game?
Yeah.
Like, let's not like plaster them with ads. Let's just like, you open the game, they say, hey, we've got this new season pass, and you go, no, I don't really want it. And then you start playing and you go, oh, I need this.
Yeah, that's right. It's
quite funny to think about. But, I guess it was great. Like, if you had Black Panther in hand, he got to 6 power. I guess there was other combos. El Damo in chat said he loved playing Deadpool with it because Deadpool would start at 3 power. So, of course, you play it, it would get destroyed. It's gone to 6, 12. You could get it pretty high very quickly. So that was definitely another combo that was enabled. Funny, isn't it, that like anything that adds power seems to work well with a destroy deck? It just seems like every second week when we have a hot location, it's like, hey, Venom, hey, Deadpool. Like, it just seems to, these cards always seem to shine. I guess that's why the destroy decks are like pretty powerful. So I didn't have any issue with it. I mean, it's not a new location. We've had it in the game, but having it for 24 hours. A 60% chance on the Sundays for the hot location for it to appear. It is very frequent. I noticed with Shuri's Lab, there were some, like, I'd go on some streaks of just not getting it at all. And I was playing a deck that was very centered around that location. So it kind of, when I didn't get that location, it was like, sometimes it was just a straight up retreat. My opponent would go nuts and I'd be like, oh, bye. So whereas I guess when it's 60% of the time, it's like 3 out of 5 games. So I feel like you really can build a strong deck around this and you're probably going to win those 3 out of 5 games most of the time.
Yeah, you'll hit that location a lot.
Yeah, that's right.
Definitely.
In chat, LDM is that everything works well with the destroy deck. It seems to just like fall that way most of the time. It's quite funny how that works out. So we've got, yeah, so I mean, those are the two locations. No issues with either of them. No rage from either of us about these ones, but I did see some people a bit annoyed as is going to happen.
I just wanted to bring up, I don't know if you've forgotten about this, but the location that I came across that I showed you during the week. So is that confirmed that the 4 locations that they said would be released with this season pass, are they already in the pool of locations?
I actually am unsure about that, but I believe no, because the same thing happened last season. They announced all the locations that were coming, but I didn't see any of them until they were the featured location. So I want to say no, but you definitely played one of them.
I definitely played one of them. If you don't want to hear what it is, then just mute me for a bit.
No, it's fine because people, like, if you go into the news in the app, you can read what the new locations are. But yeah,
can you read what they do?
You can't read what they do, but they have the names of them in the notes in the game. Yeah, like when you go game Wakanda, like the news, you go like Warriors of Wakanda. I read through it on the day and I was like, oh, these are the new locations. And I mean, you can just look them up and like they've already been data mined. I mean, people already know what they're going to do before are released.
I was playing on a normal whatever day it was, Saturday or so. I think it was on the weekend. It was last weekend. Yep. And Warrior Falls came up.
Yep.
And I thought, what is this? I've never seen that before. And it reads, after each turn, cards here fight to destroy the weakest one or ones.
Yeah, and
I screen recorded a video and sent it to you. So you've seen the interaction.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. So basically after each turn, the lowest power card or cards get destroyed.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, isn't it? It reminds me, watching the animation, and maybe we'll post that video up on Infinite on the Twitter. It was like, it reminded me of like Battlegrounds in Hearthstone where like they spawn and then they fight each other and then one like gets like destroyed.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny, but I mean, it's an interesting location because we haven't really had anything where cards fight each other. No, we haven't.
No,
like,
we haven't.
The closest thing is like things that destroy like Gambit, but we haven't had anything that actually like fight each other. Because then cards like I think of like Ebony Maw become really good because in the early game you're just going to destroy everything. Oh, well, I guess they would get destroyed later. Ooh, it's tough. It's an interesting one.
It's definitely a tough one. I actually came across it twice, so I have two videos of it.
What? How?
I don't know. Twice in the same day. Not like straight after each other, maybe a couple of hours apart. One thing that I did notice is, because I didn't really know exactly how it worked. But one thing I did notice is the cards don't necessarily fight the opposing cards. The cards all get thrown into a pool and fight each other. So I thought that it would just be like if my opponent had a lower power card, but I had two cards at Warrior Falls, and at the end of the turn, my lower power card got destroyed. So my cards fought each other, which was kind of dumb.
That's so whatever the strongest card there wins.
Whatever the weakest card loses.
So
you just, you don't know if you should play there or not. You kind of can't really play there because if your card is weaker than any other card there, it gets destroyed.
It's going to be interesting when that's like the featured location. Definitely. I'm assuming that's what's going to happen. I feel like people are going to be mad about that one.
Yeah, but it was good. It's something different, I guess.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it is. It's definitely something different, which is cool. Great. So we had a little poll. Is Black Panther a great card? This was in the YouTube chat. Guys, if you want to catch us live, you can catch us at Shadow DTV live here on YouTube. So 67% said, yes, it's a good card. So, I mean, I guess that is the people's answer. I think most people have the consensus that it's a good card. And I think with this week, we saw the power that you can get from Black Panther. Enjoying Black Panther. I think I haven't really heard anyone say that they're not enjoying the new card, which is cool.
I think we rated Black Panther what we thought he was going to be last week. I gave him a 3.5. You gave him a... Like you and Rog gave him a 3. Yeah. And like, I stand by that. He's pretty decent.
I almost want to say a 4. Four now.
He's just
if you play him in the way that he's intended to be played, he's just good.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, just like he's fine. Like he's not broken or anything. Like we've had some broken cards from the season pass. But like he's just like not super high level of power. But once you get into pool three, he definitely competes with pool three, no issues.
Pretty balanced.
Yep. Yep, for sure. All right, so let's discuss the collector's tokens. Before we get into that, we'll get into that. So collector's tokens are coming. They're going to be replacing boosters in collector's caches, which has been confirmed. So right now, you guys would know, as you open your caches, you can get boosters sometimes. Obviously, this kind of sucks because you get boosters anyway just from playing the game with the cards. So getting boosters as like an unlockable thing just felt awful. So by replacing them with collector's tokens now, and for those that don't know yet, collector's tokens are going to be a currency that you can then spend on cards you haven't unlocked yet. So the logistics of that are like every 8 hours, there'll be a card in the shop that you haven't unlocked. You'll be able to buy that with your collector's tokens and unlock it instantly. So every 8 hours, there'll be a card there. And if there's one that you want to, you know, you're going to run out of the 8 hours, you can lock it in. And then once you have enough collector's tokens, you'll be able to purchase that card and unlock it straight away. Great for people that are trying to target cards. I still haven't unlocked Sarah. I have like 3 or 4 or 5 cards left and still haven't unlocked it. So like it really limits my deck building in terms of that card. I unlocked Wave finally. In Australia, we didn't have access to the first season, so we were never able to actually purchase Wave.
You've been asking for Wave for ages.
So bad. I played Death Wave today, and it was so much fun.
Yeah.
It's a really cool deck, although I'm enjoying the Black Panther deck a lot more, to be honest. Yeah, collector's tokens, guys, if you, you know, it's great for people that are just reaching pool three. They're going to be able to get the, like, they're going to see a deck list and go, that's the card I want. They're going to be able to actually get it within a reasonable amount of time, not have to just hope that they unlock it anymore. I think it's a really good system they're introducing, and it just makes the burden of, like, waiting for cards a little less, I guess.
Yeah, I definitely think they need it, and it's good to add to the game. I still just think for people who've played the beta and stuff, and later on in their collection level, if a new pool of cards aren't released with the collection tokens, then it kind of, let's be honest, like, it means nothing to me.
Yeah. Okay.
At the moment.
For sure. Yeah. And I think like anyone that's finished pool three is going to be in the same boat, but yeah. I'm excited for, I guess, the newer players that are going to actually be able to, they're not going to have to go through what all the beta players went through in unlocking cards. Like, they're going to see their favorite content creator post a video, and they're going to be able to go, yeah, I want to play that deck. And they can, you know, maybe play it that week instead of waiting 3 months to unlock the card.
It definitely is a good addition. It needs to be introduced. Something had to be introduced to the game. There were a lot of complaints about it, the progression system.
For sure. It was probably like the main complaint I saw about Marvel Snap was card acquisition. So that's really cool. There's not really too much info on that. It's just, I believe it's coming before the end of the year. It was kind of at the top of their priority list for things that they wanted to release. And then on top of that, we also got more information about the battle mode, or I guess like the versus mode. So this is going to be the ability to verse your friend, basically. So we've already seen that for anyone that's like dived into the menus in Marvel Snap, if you go to your settings at the bottom, there is a Snap ID. So we already have like an ID number. So we essentially already have our like in-game ID. So it's pretty much, as soon as I saw that, I knew that something like this would be implemented even before the roadmap. It just made sense that you had a mode where you could verse like someone specific, your friends, run tournaments, things like that. So we already got a bunch of information, I think even before global release, we got the development roadmap, and we already knew it was going to be like a best of series. You know, you have 10 cubes you got to get to. So we're each, you know, fighting for those 10 cubes. Is it 10 cubes and then you hit zero? trying to think.
No, I think nah, it's, I think it's
you
first
start
to
at
10
zero,
cubes.
Yeah, and it's first to 10 cubes. So this is just like a way to continue using the snap mechanic, use the cube system, but in a, I guess, a one-on-one sort of battle mode, which I'm so excited for. It's going to be so much fun. I mean, we were just like brainstorming how we could have like little tournaments. You know, we could have an infinite snap tournament once a month or something like that, where you guys that listen to the podcast, everyone in chat, we could like pair people up for their matches. They play their matches, you know, they could even do it in their own free time. You know, we give like, you know, maybe like a 48-hour limit. So people actually, like with time zones and things like that, everyone could participate. And then we could even like live stream some of those games. Or we could even do like we all play at the same time. And, you know, we could have like, you know, a live stream where we could commentate some games and things like that. It just sounds like so much fun.
It does sound like so much fun, and it enables us to, something that I'm so excited about is like a draft system, but having that battle mode enables you to do your own kind of draft matches.
For sure.
With your friends and stuff. I think that's such a good idea. I can't wait.
I know you're a big advocate for like a draft system, for sure. I know that's like your thing.
I don't know why, but I'm so excited for it.
Oh, dude, drafts are fun in like any card game that has a draft system. It's usually the most fun way to play the game. Like it just ends up being, because it's fair for everyone. If you're missing cards, you it's fair because you're all playing with random cards that you've gotten from the draft system. And for those that don't know what a draft system is, Magic the Gathering have a draft system. Hearthstone has one, basically where you get offered some cards and you have to pick one, then you get offered some other cards and you've got to just pick one at a time. And I guess you got to try and build a deck based on those limited cards and resources. And I mean, we've done a draft system. Stone Donkey, he's a Marvel Snap creator, and I guess he's a developer, created like a draft system that you could do online, and then you could copy that into the game. So that's kind of what we've been using for now. But of course, a one implemented into the game would be really cool. But yeah, I definitely think as soon as it launches, we should host like a a tournament of some sort, and I guess, yeah, we could maybe commentate some games or even play in it. I think that would be really cool. I know Marvel Snap Zone have their Cube Rush, which is kind of like a, it's just, I guess, a way to do competitive Marvel Snap for now. I guess it was probably the only real way to do it at the moment, but the rule system always was kind of a bit, it's like, you know, you play for an hour and try and get as many cubes as you can. And I mean, it works, but it's like if someone's, you know, infinite 200, if someone's just playing, you know, what if you're like, you know, you're rank 10 and you're just playing bots every game? Like, it's not really, I guess, an indication of your skill. Like, you could, I guess if we're playing against each other, then it's actually like, okay, who is the best player sort of thing?
Yeah,
it's an actual, 100%. Yeah, it becomes an actual, like, my skill versus your skill. Yeah. It's a competition. That's right. There's a bit of competitiveness. You know, you can have some rivalries, you know. You've got, you know, El Demo in the chat and Drugor, you know. You've got the rivalry there and they're, you know, battling it out every week to see who's the better Marvel Snap player. So stuff like that. And it just allows you to engage with the community more. Like if someone hits me up and says, hey, I'd love to play some games with you. It's like, yeah, cool. Like, let's do it. Whereas right now it's like, hey, I've got a video of a Marvel Snap game I played against someone. Want to watch it? Like there's not really any way to interact other than making content. Whereas I feel like it's more enjoyable, especially like even like this, doing the podcast, streaming it live instead of recording offline. We can interact a little bit. You guys can ask questions. We can reference things. You guys can correct us on things. So yeah, man, battle mode is going to be super exciting. And the devs have said that it will be out before the end of the year, which is like just crazy how they've done that from like announcing it to like getting it out there. If they do get it out before like Gen 1st, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I feel like the devs have done such a good job in like throughout when we've had the beta anyways, I feel like every update they've had with balancing cards have been good changes.
Positive,
like the game feels really balanced. Like I wouldn't say there's one card or one deck that I see like every single day. And then also since I started playing the game, it looks so much more polished. Like I look at some old screenshots and stuff and I think like, wow, that does not look like what it looks like now. Everything looks awesome. They've done such a good job. And to bring out new game modes by the end of the year, or a new game mode by the end of the year, is really, really cool, because we weren't sure when they were going to bring that out. Yeah. And the end of the year is only, what, another season away? Next season is the last season of the year for Marvel Snap, yep. I assume. So good on them. They've done really, really well.
Monumental effort. And even if it was like already being worked on, which I assumed it was, I think like just like going from like sometimes things go from announcement and then in like a year and a half's time you get it. So just like, I guess they're not like just giving us, the roadmap gave us tangible things that we would have like now, rather than like, hey, yeah, like, of course they gave us things that were coming, you know, in the next 12 months, possibly even 2 years from now. They gave us things that were like, hey, this is what we're working on right now. This is what you can expect in the near future. And I mean, they've been getting feedback about what players want. So, you know, they're taking that into consideration. I'm super excited. Can't wait for it. I just think of all the other competitive card games you and I play, and it's like being able to play them against each other regularly is just something that allows you to practice, learn new decks, test decks. Like me and you can actually test decks without going onto ladder and playing random decks that people are pulling out. I think it'll make a more defined...
And also, and also socialize, which is...
Yeah.
Which is so important and fun.
Right now, you're right. Right now, it is a... I guess it's not a social game. Card games tend to be more on the social side, especially in real life card games. I mean, you sit across from each other and play. You can chat in between. Whereas, yeah, you're right. Right now, like I think of other digital card games and just video games in general, we'll jump in Discord and start playing a game and we'll just be chatting about, you know, what we've been doing that week. And just being able to do that and, you know, why, you know, after work, you know, hey, jump on, let's play Marvel Snap for an hour. Forget about ladder today. Let's just test some decks, you know, do some tournament stuff like that. But I definitely think we will definitely run something like that. And even prizes, like I think about prizes, like you could have like, you know, hey, you know, the prize is, you know, a gift card for your next season pass or something, things like that. Like, exciting stuff. So I think I haven't heard anyone that's not hyped for it. Like, sure, there's going to be people that are like, you know, I rank, like, I play ladder. That's kind of your thing, and that's cool. But, like, I still think people who just grind ladder are going to, like, jump in there once every now and then just to, like, test decks and things like that with a friend.
Yeah, or, I don't think anyone's going to think it's a bad thing.
Yeah, like,
if
for
you
sure.
If you don't want to play, you don't have to play it, but it's always going to be a good addition to the game.
And it's interesting because I think of, like, other digital card games, and I don't play against friends, like Hearthstone. I've never really had the itch to play against, like, not on the ladder. But I feel like with Marvel Snap, it's the fact that it's a tournament-style mode. Like, we're playing with the cubes. We're fighting to win the cubes. You can definitely, like, use a tournament system to run, like, a, you know, a 16, 32, 64-person tournament in that fashion. Like an elimination style thing, or even like Swiss rounds. Oh man, I'm so excited. That's definitely going to be like a thing for sure. Great.
I'm just thinking about, I don't know, potentially what else they can do.
Just
Clash Royale. Yeah, I get excited. I played Clash Royale for a while, and when they brought like firsting your friends out online, that was like, that was so good. That was awesome. But then they went one step further and created like co-op online. and it's not a co-op game. It wasn't originally a co-op game, but they made it so that you could play with a friend against two other people.
That's
imagine
great.
That with Marvel Snap. That would be awesome.
That'd be crazy. It's funny you say that, because Yu-Gi-Oh! Recently released like a four-player version of the, like a digital version of like a four-player Yu-Gi-Oh! So I guess even something like that where you could fight like a Magic the Gathering style commander game where you use like four players playing for themselves and you got to win the like three locations.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That'd be
like,
doable as well.
Like use all play, but like whoever gets the most power at the two locations wins. I don't know how it would work, but even the two player one would work. It would be like, you're like, I take a turn, they take a turn, you would take your turn even though you're on my team, like take it in turns. And then you're still fighting for maybe like three locations.
Yeah, you can still fight for three locations.
Maybe you get three turns each or something.
Yeah. I was gonna say like a less amount of turns, or they double the board state, so you could have eight cards at each location or something.
Yeah, something like that. That'd be crazy. Yeah. It's interesting the potential that you kind of comes to mind. Al Damon in chat said cross duel, that sucked, which is the Yu-Gi-Oh! Like four player thing. I assumed it sucked. I hadn't really looked into it, but I assumed four player Yu-Gi-Oh! Would be awful. But seeing as it's always been made as a two player game. Cool. So one other thing I wanted to get into was there was a great article, and I was just trying to bring it up because I was pretty sure it was written by Den from Marvel Snap Zone, and I was correct because Den posts all the cool stuff. Really, really cool. Always pumping out like great guides and things like that. So this one is basically, and I'll have the link to it on the Twitter. It's basically 76 decks, and each deck has one pool three card in it. So
yeah. So you said this at the start of the episode, and
intentional.
Sounds really interesting, and I have not seen this.
So Den basically has gone through and made a deck for each pool three card. So it's basically a way that you've unlocked your first pool three card and you go, oh, but all the decks have multiple pool three cards. You can go to this list and play a deck right now with that card.
So it's only the one pool three card in each deck.
Correct.
Yes.
So
okay.
For instance, like I'm looking at the now, Adam Warlock it starts with A, it's the first card. And it's like, Adam Warlock isn't really a build around deck, but here's a deck you can play with it.
Sure.
And then it's like, okay, here's Arrow. Like, you've only got Arrow. Here's a deck you can play with it. I think it's a really good idea. Would have taken a ton of work. So I don't know if Den worked on it on his own. Possibly had help. But I'm definitely going to at him in the Twitter post because got to recognize the work. It's a ton of it. It literally says pool three players that features one pool three card, and then in brackets, yes, every one of them.
Yeah, well, that like, would have taken
a
lot of time.
It's actually crazy. Like, I just think of deck building in general. Like, he's Arnim Zola. Like, only Arnim Zola is the only pool three card in the deck. So props, really cool list. I'm definitely going to post it for all the new players who are kind of like just, because I've noticed that all the players that started are just now hitting pool three. They've unlocked some pool three cards. So it's like the perfect time for this sort of guide where you're still missing a lot of cards, but you've got something that you can at least try out and test the card. Like, you don't want to just be throwing it into a deck for the sake of it. You want to at least have something semi like
that's
good.
That's right. And also, if you're at the start of your pool, you can just take one of these decks and add, you know, see if you can add some of the other pool three cards that you've unlocked into it and swap them out for something else. So it's a good, it's probably a good starting point for early pool three players.
So
check it out. I'll definitely check it out.
I think it was just a great idea, to be honest. It's whenever I'm thinking of like ideas to like for discussions and content, like something like this, it just wouldn't have even come to my mind, but it's something that I guess, again, thinking about new players, it's something that they probably need, because you're going to unlock like this brand new card and go, I don't know what to do with it. And then you look up a deck and it's like, oh, I need six pool three cards. Great. Never mind. I'll just shelf this card. And that's what happened with me with Mr. Negative. I unlocked Mr. Negative really early. I'm like, oh, I'll try and play it. I'm like, oh, I'm not like I'm missing all these other cool cards. But it was definitely playable at the time. But I shelved Mr. Negative until I unlocked cards, I guess, to play with him. So I think
I see that as well.
Looking back, I probably could have just played Mr. Negative and it probably would have been okay. Like I had Devil Dino back when Devil Dino was zero power. He would have been a zero cost card. Ronan was the same. Like there would have been some crazy stuff I could have done, but I just didn't play it.
Yeah, 100%. I think I've done the same with some cards. Like, yep. And especially now, like, you know, I thought, what's a card? It's going to be too hard to think of one now, but like I've unlocked cards way early on in pool three and then thought, oh, I need this card or this card to go along with it to make this deck. And now I'm at the end of my collection level and I still haven't played with that card, even though I've unlocked all of the cards. So what am I waiting for to try that card out?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think I'm trying to think what I had like that. Yeah. I've had cards sitting there and just like, oh, I need this card. And then I finally get the card and it's like, oh, I haven't even tried it. That's right. Like you kind of shelve it and then completely forget about it. So definitely a really cool list. Thanks again, Den. I'm not entirely sure if he did it all himself, but I'm going to say like probably because absolute beast. Just pumping out articles and guides.
Yeah, and I haven't seen many guides where like it's only one pool three card in this deck. It's like, you know, pool three cards or pool two cards or whatever.
That's exactly right.
So he probably did do most of it himself, if not all.
And that's the thing. It's like, oh, here's a pool two deck and it just always excludes every pool three card. But now here is like, hey, you've unlocked that one cool pool three card. Here's a deck you can play. And it's like, doesn't even matter if that's not the best deck you could play with that one card. Like it's something that you can build on, I guess, at least.
Yeah, definitely. So, it's options.
I'll definitely have that. Definitely have the link to that on the Twitter, so you can go and check that out. All right, that was pretty much. It was a bit of a slow news week this week for Marvel Snap. Like, yes, there was a ton of stuff we learned, but I guess they weren't things that we hadn't already sort of discussed in a previous episode. Of course, Black Panther, the big new card. That was like probably the biggest news of the week, and like finally getting to play it a bunch. I have just thrown up a poll are you going to play Battle Versus mode? And everyone voted yes, as I expected. 100% yes, which is what I expected because it's exciting stuff. Cool. Well, guys, this is it's time. It is time for everybody's favorite Marvel Snap quiz, but it has been shaken up a little bit. We have Snap Who Location Edition. Now...
Sorry. Basically, Shadow's just saying that he was too good at playing the normal version of Snap Who and he wants a challenge.
I was the worst person at the original Snap Who. So, guys, obviously, if you've been listening for a while, Snap Who, we've been guessing a Marvel Snap card each week. We would read out the ability, and then we had to the person playing had to guess the power, cost, and the name of the card. Obviously, as we've unlocked more Pool 3 cards, as we've been playing the game for longer, that's gotten a little bit easier. We were finding that most weeks people kind of knew what the cards were and would guess them fairly quickly. We still made mistakes here and there, but we thought we would up the difficulty a ton and just make the game way more difficult. So basically, I'm going to show on screen, and for those that are listening to the audio version of the podcast, don't worry. I'm going to tell you what the location is. I'm going to mute myself so Justin can't hear me. But he's going to be looking at the image of the location. He's going to have to guess the name of the location, so the name will not be on the card or on the location. And he's also going to have to guess what the ability at that location is. Now, there's a ton of locations. I swear I never look at the artwork. I never look at the name of most of the locations. But I'm definitely going to be, I guess, considering it a little bit more now when I play Marvel Snap.
I think getting the ability will be maybe okay for some of them, but tying that in with the actual name of the location is going to be really difficult.
Yeah.
And so also, just to clarify, are you muting yourself just to me?
Yeah. So you won't be able to hear me, but the podcast will be definitely able to hear what it is. Just so I'm going to post the image on the pod, on the Twitter anyway, but I mean, for anyone that's like, it's just going to be the image of it. But if you are watching slash listening on YouTube or Spotify, actually has a video for the podcast. You can actually check it and see it once we bring it up. But yeah, and we've got a tally. We've got the tally for the cards, but I guess we'll kind of refresh it, I guess, for the locations. We'll see. Maybe I'll get the tally and add to it for next week. All right. So Rog, we had Rog Tronic on last week, and like he got the card instantly because, I mean, just been playing the game for longer than us even, and it was just like piece of cake. And I realized it's going to be like that for most people we have on the show. For us, you know, it's going to get pretty stale pretty quickly. So locations, here we go. All right, I'm going to bring up the image, and then I'm going to mute myself while you're thinking, and I'm going to tell the podcast what the location is. So here is the image. All right, you've got it there.
What is that? So tell me when you're going to say it. I don't want to lip read either.
I'm going to check and make sure you can't hear me. So you shouldn't be able to hear me now. Very good. Okay, guys. So the location is nowhere. And, where is it? Oh, no, yes. Okay, so the location he is guessing is nowhere. And I have the image of it up right now. All right, Justin. There's the image.
Honestly, I have no idea.
I knew when I looked at it, I'm like,
where do I go from here?
I'm like, I don't even know what it is. Maybe we need like a clue system. I'm gonna bring it up and figure out what clue I could actually give you. I've got a clue I could give you.
Okay.
Do you want a clue?
Yeah. Okay. Let me think.
It's a pretty good clue. It won't give away too much, but it'll give you something to go on. Okay. Yep. In the card's ability, it has the text at some point in it on reveal. So it has to do with on reveal. Gives you something at least. Gives you somewhere, something to go with.
Oh, geez. This is a lot harder than I thought.
Yeah, no, I knew this would be hard. And I feel like as time goes on, we're going to start looking at locations a lot more. So for those listening to the audio, it is it's a picture, I guess, in space, and there's like a skull looking thing. It's a who actually is it? I don't even know who it is. It looks like Ultron, but I don't actually think that's...
I was gonna say that as well, but it's not.
It's definitely not.
So just going off your clue now, having another look at it, I'm gonna say the ability is... Do I have to get it word for word? Surely not.
If you can tell me, if you can give me the gist of what it does, I'll give you the points.
All right. I'm going to say on reveal abilities do not happen at this location.
Okay.
And as for the name, jeez. I honestly have no idea.
Okay. So you're just going to just leave it there? You'll get 1 point if it's correct. You have no even chance of getting the second point.
Yeah, but what would it be?
It's a tough one. I only told people the name of the location, so the people listening to the audio version can still try and guess the ability at least.
Yeah, I'm just going to say... I'm going to say nowhere.
Okay, so the card ability is on reveal effects do not happen at this location. Bing, 1 point. The location is nowhere.
Yes, that honestly just came to me right at the end there because I knew it started with a K.
Yeah, that's amazing. I didn't even think you would get the ability. When I gave you the clue, I'm like, maybe? That was impressive.
Your clue definitely helped.
Yeah.
But I actually just made the connection of nowhere It's like the middle. Unrevealabilities don't happen because it's nowhere.
It's nowhere. Yeah, it makes
it just made sense.
You definitely, I guess, your thought process really helped.
And I know that nowhere is a planet from Thor or from Avengers or something.
Yeah, yeah, yep. Yeah. Right. I'm trying to think. Is it?
Nowhere is where the collector is. Actually, I think.
Maybe chat, dude. You know what's crazy? Because I consider myself to enjoy all the MCU stuff, but I guess I don't dive into it as crazy as people do. And it's funny, I'm actually really bad with movies. So I can rewatch a movie like 5 years later and like just completely rewatch it and not remember how it ends, which I don't know if that says more about myself or like me and my wife are watching a TV series right now. We're watching Daredevil actually. And she's like, oh, why do you keep saying what's going to happen? You already know. I'm like, oh, just like 5 years ago. I remember all the characters and stuff, but I don't really remember outcomes until they're like about to happen. And then it clicks. I'm like, oh, I remember what happens now.
Yeah,
maybe I'm just a bit slow in that regard.
I am very into the MCU from phases 1-4, I think. So after Avengers, I haven't really seen many of those, but before... Well, up to what is it, Avengers Infinity Endgame. War? What's the next one? Endgame.
Yep.
I've seen those like everything. 24 or 25 movies a few times each.
Yeah.
So I just looked it up. So this is from
the Avengers. Is it the Collector?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's when Asgardians go to the Collector's Museum inside of nowhere.
Which I definitely remember the scene. Because that's it's like that's like sort of cyberpunkish sort of like place, isn't it? Very cyberpunky like themed.
I don't know if it's cyberpunky.
So chat, is it like actually like are they like in that like that celestial? Is that like actually where they like? Is that the city? I don't know. Like, how does it work? Anyway, it's Google says it's pretty. It's a pretty niche part of the comics. It's Guardian. It's the Guardian of the Galaxy team's home base. Nowhere. Okay. Anyway, MCU stuff. We got no idea. So, well done, Justin. That's 2 points on the board, and I'll add that to the tally if we're going to continue it. But we did have a question from El Damo. So El Damo has actually asked us. A question. So we're going to, guys, if you're here for the live stream, throw your questions out. Even if you want to tweet at us on the official Infinite Snap Twitter, we'll answer your questions on the next episode. So El Damo's question is, now that we have close to finishing our collections, which cards would we buff, nerf, or change? It's a very good question, El Damo. It's a tough one because I feel like it's a hard one because with the cube system, the game is fairly balanced in that there's no deck with like a 65%, 70% win rate. Like, it's just by the nature of the game, even slightly broken cards don't absolutely break the game. I think Sarah is a very powerful card that you find in a lot of decks. But I don't know if it needs a nerf, and I don't even see how you would nerf a deck like that. And I think the thing with Sarah is it doesn't like equate to like a higher win rate. It may be, maybe you can get more big 8 cube wins because you can play so many cards on your last turn. But I wouldn't say that it's like, it has like, you know, a 65% win rate, so it needs to be nerfed. But I do think it is a powerful card. Justin, did you have any mind?
I'm just looking through now to give myself some ideas.
Yep.
As I said before, I think the devs have done an awesome job on balancing the cards for global release. So I think everything is pretty balanced. I don't generally see like an overuse of a specific card. Maybe sometimes I see more of a specific deck.
Yep.
But not so much a specific card that fits into every deck.
Yep.
So if I had to choose a card to nerf, the only way that I can narrow something down is that is a deck that I use actually, which is the Patriot deck. I think Patriot was massively overused last season. Yep. I came across Patriot probably too much.
Yep.
Ever since that patch with the changes to Ultron and Blue Marvel, so yep. I think maybe a nerf to. Maybe a nerf to Patriot.
But you can't. What do you nerf him? You can't make him plus one. Then he's just a bad card.
Yeah, or we go for a revert for Ultron back to his previous ability.
Then he's just a garbage card and no one will play him. That's the thing. Yeah. Where, it's actually it's a tough one.
I'm not too sure, but I definitely think that the Patriot deck could see a nerf.
I don't actually think it's an overpowered deck. I think the thing with it is people don't retreat. Like Ultron is coming out no matter what, and people don't plan for that. On the flip side, turn six, you can also go Patriot Mystique to throw people off. I think because it can surprise you in different ways. I've even seen Patriot lists now where you aim to go play your your Wasp and all these cheap cards, and then cheat out like an Onslaught with like Wave.
And
then get Mystique, then a Patriot, and all of your cards go to like plus 16.
Yeah, I've seen that as well.
Even that version, it's like I guess the deck can do a lot that you don't expect, and I think that's why it's good, because it's unpredictable. That's like the name of the game in Marvel Snap, to be unpredictable.
And then I think on the other side, in terms of a buff, there are definitely some cards that could use a buff. There's some cards that I have not seen.
Oh, yeah, we could go through buffs for sure.
Yeah, since like the pool one days, there's a handful of cards.
Baron Mordo, garbage card after its buff. Just I don't know what they do to it, but it just needs to be better. Black Bolt, pretty average card. Yellow Jacket, pretty average card. Doesn't really see play. Adam Warlock is like... It's weird because draw in card games is usually insane, but Adam Warlock is just like literally not played. And I think it's because you see most of your deck every game.
Anyway.
So why would drawing an extra two cards change your game plan? Like, yes, okay, you see most of your, like almost all of your deck now, but I spent two energy for like a zero power card.
I'm not wasting two energy for that.
And it doesn't even guarantee that I'm going to draw cards if my opponent plays something there. There's a ton of cards that like, they're not like super bad, but they're not played because there's just better options, you know?
Yeah, correct. There's
better options. I would say that
they are bad
cards.
They're
bad cards, I guess.
I guess so. If they're not played, I mean, like, some cards see a little bit of play, but there's some cards that see, like the ones you mentioned, zero. That see, like, no play. Like, they definitely need a buff or even, like, rework of their ability.
And I could actually check on snap.fan a list of cards that literally don't get played. While I'm doing that, Justin Aldemo has asked, what's your personal favorite cards? Maybe you can pick one or a couple.
My personal favorite card.
Yep.
So my first pool three card was Venom, and I am a massive, massive fan of the movies Venom. I've always been into Venom.
Yep.
So Venom probably has to be one of my favorites. My other favorite would have to be Deadpool. Deadpool's probably my favorite MCU character. And Aldemo is also saying in the chat that like destroyed decks should be looked at because they're a little bit OP.
They're pretty strong.
They are very strong. I can agree with that. And Deadpool fits right into those decks. So I definitely love Deadpool as a character and as a card.
All right. I've quickly, I'll think about mine. I've just brought up some card stats from snap.fan. If we do the most recent patch, the least seen cards by, I guess, people running the Snap Fan tracker, Agatha Harkness. I'll give you like, I'll rattle off a few. Agatha, Dagger, Kingpin, Omega Red, Leech, Jane Foster, Doc Ock, Adam Warlock, Rogue, Beast, Cerebro, Black Widow.
I do not believe that.
So that's like, that's scene that percentage. That's like how often they're seen. So like, I guess.
So like, just quickly,
hang on. Hang on. Let me fix that up. In deck.
Okay.
I'm using the wrong stats here. I'm definitely using the wrong stats. I'm using when the card is played. All right. This is when the card is in deck. Ronan, Falcon, Yellow Jacket, Viper, Mordo. Literally the cards I was saying. Crossbones, Agatha, Dagger, Typhoid, Omega, Kingpin, Black Cat, Human Torch, Warlock, Cerebro, Doc Ock.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's like very, very, very accurate in like cards.
I'm probably surprised with
maybe
Doc Ock and and Agatha Harkness. Like, not that they get played a lot, but I have definitely seen them, like, every now and then, whereas the other cards, I just never see.
I see Doc Ock all the time, and Doc Ock just seems like a terrible card.
Yeah, but you still see him.
I guess, sure. What's the percentage? He's in, like, 0.8% of decks.
Yeah, fair enough.
So it's like, because his whole thing is like, all right, I play Doc Ock and I pray that I pull out, I fill your location with like cheap cards and I just auto win this. But then you pull out Wong and Black Panther and Arnim Zola and then they win.
Yeah, but he, all right, hear me out.
All right, here we go.
I was watching a video.
Yep.
From another content creator.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying...
Another content creator, so not us.
Yeah, not us.
Not us, yeah.
Who really briefly just said that, like, Doc Ock is not so much just... Is not so much just, like what you're saying. You know, he could pull down really strong cards and whatnot, maybe even wins them the location, but also, it's disruption.
If you can,
like in the deck that I was explaining before, if I can get Doc Ock out on turn 4...
Yep.
The disruption is huge. It like, is. If like Eldemo is complaining about destroy decks, if I play Doc Ock and on turn 4 with a destroy deck, not destroyer, but like a destroy deck, that can be like detrimental to their game plan.
Right.
Like they can pull down like a Venom or like a really strong card or whatever, and then just destroy it with Carnage. You know what I mean?
I'm even thinking like you pull out Destroyer and it just wipes their board because they haven't played armor yet.
Yeah.
And it's like turn 5 and they have 1/16 power card.
I don't think Doc Ock is a terrible card. I don't think he should be paired with those cards in
okay.
that list.
Yeah, well, that's the numbers. Now, my last question for you, what is the most played card? What is the card most in most decks?
When's this from?
This is from the latest patch. 42.7% in deck. This is in 42% of decks.
I'd probably still have to say...
Remember, this is all pools. This is people from pool pools. 1 to 3.
I'd probably still have to say America Chavez.
Oh, you're so close. That's second at 32%.
Or Marvel.
Nah, this is 10% higher than Chavez. You're going to get it.
Odin.
Nah, well, you're not even close. What? It's the best card. As soon as I say it, you're going to be like, yep.
Ant-Man. No, Nightcrawler.
Oh, my gosh. You're missing the best card. All right, it's Angela.
Huh.
He's so disappointed. Angela's great.
It's
literally 2 power. And it just ends up at like 10 plus with the Nightcrawler.
I'm just that I didn't get it.
Anyway, if we went pool 3 only, it becomes the most seen deck. Oh, that's not a pool 3 card. Oh, I guess if the player's in pool 3... Yeah, it really changes because people are like have access. So if you're in pool 3, it becomes Killmonger and Shang-Chi, which just makes total sense because all of a sudden...
Wow.
Well, it makes sense because all of a sudden you have to counter these big cards and you have to counter these swarms.
I understand Killmonger, but Shang-Chi...
Bro, do you know how many games I've lost to Shang-Chi?
Yeah, but that's only because of Black Panther.
No, it's just every deck they play, like you play like anything. You play death, dead. You play like a Hela deck. You reveal like dead. You play like just,
I guess so.
They just kill. It just kills everything good, bro. Like you Hulk's lab, and they just drop a Shang-Chi, and you lose like 36 power. It's just nuts sometimes. Okay, and my favorite cards for Eldemo. My favorite cards would have to be. I don't even know. I got Wong really early, and Wong just enables so many decks. So I really, really love Wong as an ability, and it's a cool card and a cool character. And then I guess, I don't even know. I guess like in combat with Wong, Mystique, again, really cool character and a cool ability in game. I guess they're probably my two favorite because I got both of them quite early, which opened up a lot of possibilities. And to be honest, I really love the Black Panther card right now. I think it's just fun. Like, yes, it's very limited in the sort of decks you build, but I feel like that's going to expand as more cards come out. And I'm having so much fun with the deck. Like, it's probably the reason that I'm opening the app and playing each day still, like just having that card. So, yeah, I guess those are my answers for now. Eldemo without like prior research on looking at all the cards. Well, yeah. Guys, I think that wraps up another episode of the Infinite Snap podcast. Justin, thanks so much for joining us as always. You've been super consistent here every week, so I really appreciate that. He's kind of said I'll probably be on as more of a guest role at the moment just because he's like super busy with like life. And I mean, that happens with everyone, but he's definitely going to be on future episodes. But some exciting news. We have another special guest on next week's episode, another content creator. So that's going to be really fun because our time zones are really awkward, especially with the Northern Hemisphere, America, those sort of places. It's kind of hard for us to do it live and then them like and not be like 4 a.m. for them. So we're actually going to pre-record next week's episode, but my plan is to still stream it live at the same time. And I guess I'll be in chat just chatting with you guys. So I guess it'll still be interactive in that I'll be able to talk to you guys in chat, which will be a ton of fun. I think that will actually be quite fun because you guys will be able to watch and I guess I'll be able to chat back with you guys, which is going to be really fun. Like we definitely do it now, but it'll be nice to, comment on what we are saying as well.
That will be good. Yeah. And correct ourselves if we said anything wrong or if we've changed our mind since the vid.
For
yeah.
sure. That's exactly right. But I'm not going to reveal who the guest is yet. El Damo said has to be Angela, referencing the most played card. So yes, you were definitely right, El Damo. Sorry, I had all the questions open, so I missed all the chat. Guys, thank you so much for listening and or watching if you joined us live or are watching on YouTube. Again, at Infinite Snap Pod on Twitter. Go and follow us there if Twitter hasn't already imploded because of everything that's happening there. But for now, the platform's still good. We'll see where that goes. Guys, you can catch us on YouTube at Shadow DTV. We've got the weekly podcast uploaded there as well. Any last words, Justin?
Not really, to be honest. But as you said, just loving Black Panther, definitely better than the last two couple, season yeah. pass cards that we've had
for
in
sure.
Miles and Nick Fury. So, you know, Marvel Snap's, it's in a good state, I'd say, yeah. at the moment. And for new players, it probably is still really exciting, even though, yeah, I just finished my collection and I'm a bit sad. but I'll definitely still keep playing. I'm still having a ton of fun.
For sure. I think the dynamic of like, I want all the cards to now I've got all the cards is just completely not what we thought it would be.
Yeah, that's right.
So guys, take your time, play the decks, have fun. Cause once you unlock all the cards, you might feel differently about it. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us. We will catch you on next week's episode. I'm Shadow DTV or catch you guys. See you, Justin.
See ya. Bye.
Ah, oh, lost my button. Always lose my button.